like an exam. Good afternoon. Welcome to today's Cabinet meeting on Tuesday the 30th of August. Any apologies, Gordon?
Apologies have been received from Margaret Harkness and Ruth Halley.
Thank you very much. The order of business?
The order of business is as per the agenda.
Thank you. Members should declare any financial and non-financial interests they have in the items of business for consideration, identifying the relevant agenda item and the nature of their interest. And please remember that today we are webcasting this meeting. And we can move on to number four, minutes of the special Cabinet meeting on 31st of May 2016. Do we approve these? And the minutes of the Cabinet of the 31st of May 2016. Thank you. And moving on to item number five, procedure for external inspection reports by Kenneth Laurie.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to seek approval for a proposed approach to be applied to all published external inspection reports for services for which Midlothian Council has direct responsibility and which are subject to inspection from the Care Inspectorate, Education Scotland, Healthcare Improvement Scotland, the Mental Welfare Commission and the Scottish Housing Regulator. And really the reason behind this is that earlier this year it became clear that our approach across the organisation had not always been consistent. And at a meeting of the Special Performance and Review Committee back in January, there was a request to bring forward a report setting out a comprehensive approach to this. That was subsequently approved by that committee on the 8th of June, but in view of the fact that procedure relates both to Cabinet and PRS Committee, it's important the Cabinet should also formally consider this report. The details of the external scrutiny arrangements to which this would apply are set out at paragraph 2.2, and further details of the various inspection approaches are set out at paragraph 2.5. But really today, I particularly want to draw your attention to Appendix 1, which sets out the procedure or the proposed procedure for external inspection reports. I think this is a clear and straightforward approach. The intention is it be adopted across all external inspections. It has been subject to quite a bit of informal discussion previously, but today I'm asking the Cabinet formally to review and approve the procedure as set out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bob Constable.
Thanks, Chair. It's welcome to see a standardisation of these procedures from all the various inspector agencies. I presume this is with our control, but when you're numbering the grades, grade 1 is normally good and grade 6 is normally bad, but how it is the other way round, I presume, and it's beyond our control to change it.
Thank you, yes. I mean, that is beyond our control. It has been a long-stated intention to bring together the inspection agencies so that they work together and analyse and assess services in a more consistent manner. I still think it's true to say we've got some way to go in that.
Thank you very much. I agree that we should accept these recommendations to review and approve the procedure, and it is good, as Bob says, to regularise the reporting of the inspections. Are we agreed? Thank you very much. And moving on now to 5.2, inspection of Mayfield Nursery School by Mary Smith, along with our guests from the school, if you'd like to take a seat with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leader. I've invited Julie Fox, who's the school group manager for early years, to join us this morning, along with Lisa Barnes, who's the head teacher of Mayfield Nursery School. We're delighted to introduce this report, which outlines the outcome of the above inspection, which was carried out by the HMI Inspector of Education and the Care Inspectorate, which was communicated in their letter of June 2016. Mayfield Nursery was inspected at the week beginning the 30th of May, and the report was published on the 28th of June. Following the inspection, the Scottish Government gathered evaluation of five core quality indicators to keep track of how well all early learning and childcare settings and schools are doing. And noted below are the evaluations for Mayfield Nursery. Improvements in performance, very good. Children's experiences, very good. Meeting learning needs, excellent. Curriculum, very good, and improvement through self-evaluation, excellent. The following particular strengths were indicated by the inspection team: confident and resilient children, the welcoming and inclusive ethos created by staff, children's progress in communications and early language and literacy through the ICANN service, strong relationships and productive partnerships with external agencies, and highly effective leadership of the acting head teacher and commitment to self-evaluation. The following areas for improvement were agreed by HMIE: develop further current arrangements for improvements to ensure appropriate and well-informed change. In addition, the Care Inspectorate also evaluated the nursery as follows. The quality of care and support, excellent. The quality of the environment, excellent. The quality of staffing, excellent. And the quality of management and leadership, excellent. And this is bearing in mind that Ms. Barnes was acting head teacher at this point of the inspection. The HMI have concluded that they are satisfied with the overall quality of provision. They are confident that the nursery's self-evaluation processes are leading to improvements, and as a result, HMIE will make no further evaluative visits in connection with this inspection. During the inspection, and this might be worth having a word with Ms. Barnes about, during the inspection, HMI identified an aspect of the innovative practice which they would like to explore further in order to share the practice with others across Scotland. As a result, HMI will work with the nursery and the local authority in order to record and share more widely the innovative practice. So the recommendations, Cabinet are asked to note that the content of the inspection report, pass this report to performance review and scrutiny for its consideration, and congratulate the pupils, parents and staff connected with Mayfield Nursery School on the key strengths and innovative practice. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Constable.
Thank you. Well, obviously, in whatever I said about numbers before, it doesn't matter because it's hearing words. Very good, excellent, and excellent, excellent. What can we say? As I said in an earlier meeting this morning, Midlothian is gaining national recognition for its services and for its output, and here's another example of it. Delighted to see these reports coming through like that. And bearing in mind, with the nursery school, it is this early intervention and early ages where the best results are achieved. And I'm absolutely delighted to see what we have here today. And especially recommendation 3, congratulate everyone involved in it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bourne.
Thanks, Leader. Over the years, we've seen some exceedingly good reports on our nurseries, but this is stunning. It really is gobsmacking to see so many excellencies. I haven't seen this in a report, I think, in all my time on this council. We therefore do have to congratulate people at the centre, the head teacher, the staff, the youngsters, and the parents. This is clearly an operation that's working well from the top in Midlothian, through the head, through the staff, right the way down. And it's a fantastic success story. As I say, getting an excellence and an inspection report is really a heck of an achievement. Most people get very goods, which is stunning in itself. But when you look at, on this page, two excellencies and four excellencies, it's almost unheard of. I just would highlight that I liked under 2.3, confident, resilient children who enjoy. And that has clearly come out in the report. And of course, as Bob said, the last bullet point, highly effective leadership. It can be challenging being an acting head. And clearly in this case, the challenge was met. I think we just have to be over the moon about this and publicise this as widely as possible. Just finish by saying, well done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would our guests like to make any contribution today to the meeting to tell us a wee bit about your experience?
Yes, it was a very, very positive experience for us. The inspectors were very respectful. They took a lot of time to really understand our context. And that's been a real passion of all the staff, is to look at our particular context and what's going to make a difference in that context. We are very much signed up to raising the bar and closing the gap. But to do that, you've got to be really sure what your gap is. And that's been a collaborative effort with everybody, the education team, education psychologists. We've worked very collaboratively in terms of quite innovative work in visible learning. And really across the authority. So we've had some very challenging systemic conversations about things that with family support, about things like attendance, which seems a very, very sort of boring topic, but actually for very young children, if they're not coming to nursery, they can't benefit from what is a very good provision. But also, what's that telling us about how we, you know, what's happening for our families and how can we support them? Because another thing that we know from the Five Journeys research is that that one of the key risk factors that was identified in all the Five Journeys for the young children taken into care was a poor attendance at nursery. So that was the piece of innovative practice. We're very clear that it was a moment in time and we haven't cracked that one yet, but with the collaborative help of everybody, and that's what that's been about, staff, parents, children, all the services right across Midlothian, you know, specialists, social work teams, everybody, that has been key to the work that we do. We don't achieve that alone. I don't achieve that alone. The staff don't achieve that alone. We work all together. And Mary and I have had the discussion about confident, resilient children. When I first came to the council, I did some work for Mary around resilience, and I was particularly proud of that. That was a very, you know, a very fine phrase to be in the report.
Thank you very much. I now invite you all to congratulate Mayfield Nursery School in a round of applause. Thank you very much, and we're all happy to accept these recommendations. Thank you very much. Moving on to the next item is 6.1, the right to buy policy on council housing, and that's going to be a report by Kevin Anderson.
Thank you, Leader. This report advises members of the end of the right to buy policy, which allowed tenants in social housing to buy their homes, which has ended now in Scotland. This legislative change followed public consultation by the Scottish Government. As detailed in section 2.4, Just short of 7,500 properties have been sold to date in Midlothian since the 1980 Act introduced the right to buy. That number exceeds our existing total housing stock, even after a 10-year new build programme. In Midlothian, the policy significantly reduced the stock, increased our waiting lists, and expanded, at some cost, the buy-to-let landlord sector. The increase in applications as the deadline approached was significant. In the final week, we had 43 applications, whereas in the past 2 years, we'd had less than 39 for each of the 2 years. Currently, there are 156 applications at different stages of the purchase process, and these are being assessed to determine if indeed they meet the right to buy criteria. And Cabinet are recommended to note the content of the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Parry.
Thanks, Chair. I'm delighted to see the progress of this, and I'm very pleased to see the end of the legislation coming forward that was passed a couple of years ago and originally had a 3-year period and was then reduced to 2, which I'm very pleased to see. The policy itself will keep 15,500 homes in the social sector over the next decade across Scotland, which is incredibly important. Right to buy did drive up home ownership in Scotland, but it has contributed to an acute shortage of social housing, which Kevin touched on. Removing the right to buy, social landlords will have greater confidence to build new homes, and I know that we're just going to come on to that in our next paper when we talk about our own houses that we're building in Midlothian. But many right to buy properties, and perhaps some of the ones that are going through now, regrettably, will end up in the private rented sector. And private sector housing benefit claims are higher than claims by social sector tenants, which pushes up spending on the benefit and benefits wealthy landlords instead of our residents. So I'm very pleased to see this legislation coming to an end, and I'm happy to move the recommendations, which is to note the contents of the report.
Thank you. Councillor Constable.
I was just wondering, it is a shame when some of our former houses end up in the private rented sector and, as Kelly said, the profits going elsewhere. Do we have any figures of how many are in that that has happened to?
I don't have that detail with me, but we could certainly obtain that through the licensing arrangements that we have for the private rented sector.
Thank you. And we're all agreed on these recommendations and we can move forward. Thank you. The next report is 6.2, Council House Building Programme Phases 2 and 3 and the progress update to date, and that's a report by Gary Sherratt.
Thanks, Leda. Yes, this report follows on from the previous report and gives a progress update on the rebuilding of the council housing stock that we have. Phase one has come to a conclusion and we have built 864 additional homes within Midlothian over a period of 7 years. There are still a couple of outstanding residual items there to do with the new buyers Crescent site, which has been reported elsewhere extensively. But we are moving forward on that. We've now demolished the housing there, including grubbing up the foundations and the site investigation, which we have to do very comprehensively this time round. Is been tendered and is about to be let to a contractor. We also have a residual item with the solar panels that were built on the phase one, not to do with the performance of the solar panels and the residents' benefits from that, but to do with water ingress there, and we're taking legal advice on how to go after the manufacturer of those panels. The phase two update is that we are building a further 420 additional houses in that phase, and we are at the point where only 90 homes on that phase have still to be completed. Details of the completed and the under construction sites are contained within your report under section 2.2. Phase 3 is about to commence. At the council meeting on the 15th of December 2015, it was agreed that we would follow on from phase 2. And that will comprise, hopefully, around about 240 houses from a budget of £36 million from the HRA account. We are currently identifying those sites, and with our housing colleagues, we'll be coming back with the identified potential sites that could comprise those 240 homes. Cabinet's invited to note the content of this report and the progress made on phases 1, 2 and 3. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Parry.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Gary, for such a positive progress report. Making sure that everyone has a safe, warm and affordable home, I know, is very important to this council and very important to our administration's drive to make the county more fairer and prosperous across the region. It's great to see that we're on track to meet those commitments and that we're now starting to build a new generation, if you like, council houses to replace some of those that we lost, as well as taking into account the fact that we're a growing region as well. So it's great to see that we're safeguarding social housing for the future and that none of these will be built at great expense and then sold off, so that's always a good thing. And I know that we are very much committed to driving forward this project and deliver to our communities, which will benefit our residents and our economy. So I'm very happy to move the recommendations, which is to note the contents of the report and to note phases 1, 2 and 3.
Councillor Rosie.
Thanks, Leader. And thanks for the report, Gary. Just a couple of points. I know we're asked to note that it's good to see the amount of developments that are going on throughout Midlothian. And as we saw at a recent seminar that we had, there are going to be challenges in identifying land to continue the house building programme. But no doubt we will continue as a council. We have committed to carry that forward. The other thing, Gary, just a quick question on the solar panel one, is the water ingress, is it any issues with the fabric of the buildings at all likely to arise through that?
No, it's seepage rather than pouring through, but what we have is the actual product itself has the flashings that get dressed into the roof, and unfortunately we've found that there's a latent defect in that product, and as a result we are a victim of that latent defect, and that is going into the houses themselves. We're managing that process and we're working with the contractors who installed it, and there's elements of workmanship that need to be improved, albeit that workmanship was set out by the company themselves, the supplier, when we first took the product on site. So we're working that through, we're taking legal advice as to where we redress the costs that are involved with that, and making sure that the residents within the houses are not unduly affected, albeit they're inconvenienced more than anything else.
Thank you, and we're happy to agree these recommendations. Thank you very much. And now we go the follow paper in Historic Environment Scotland, the Conservation Area Registration Scheme, and this is a report by Ian Johnston.
Thanks, Chair. June of this year, the Council resolved to submit bids for funding to secure long-term improvements to the town centre of Penicuik. The details of those bids have now been completed and are due for submission, and the due date for submission is by the end of tomorrow, 31st of August. Council makes the bid, but really what I would stress right at the beginning is that it's very much dependent upon a great deal of community support, and I'm glad to say at Penicuik, particular individuals and groups have come forward, and it's been good to see that, because that's all part of trying to win these bids in what is a very competitive environment. The total value of the improvement scheme over a period of 5 years would be £3.8 million. It would essentially cover the costs of repairing and restoring priority buildings, of which probably the Town Hall is the most notable, grant schemes to repair specific buildings or groups of buildings, public realm improvements, which is really the roads we're talking about, traditional construction and maintenance skills training, heritage education and awareness. And there are longer-term benefits arising from all of that for the physical and economic environments in Penicuik Town Centre. Therefore, the bid to Scottish Government, that is the Historic Environment Scotland, is for £980,000 from what will be a very oversubscribed Conservation Area Regeneration Fund. This is the fund which has been so well used at Dalkeith and is currently being used at Gore Bridge. So it's a further round of offers from Historic Environment Scotland, which we're bidding into. As was the case in Dalkeith, in relation to Penicuik, we're also going to bid through the Heritage Lottery Fund for Townscape Heritage funding of around £2.2 million. And again, it's a very competitive environment for that bid, but we feel we've got a good chance. From experience, it's evident that bidding councils need to put up some financial contribution. And this was the case in both Dalkeith and Gore Bridge. You'll see from the report, therefore, the bid includes a contribution of roughly about, well, maybe just almost 10%, £350,000. Now, that's funded from developer contributions collected for roads improvements and for town centre improvements. The council already has that money in its funds. So it's not a question of worrying about the funding coming in. That actually sits in the council's accounts already for use. There may also be opportunity where the council is spending money anyway in the town centre to potentially rebadge that, and that all adds grist to the mill in terms of the bid. But that's something which would need to come out in due course. But the base figure would be 350, and there's no suggestion in terms of anything else that there's then extra new money coming forward. It would only be rebadged. If the council's successful with both bids, then because of the nature of the heritage lottery funding, then the start wouldn't be next year, it would be April 2018. The money would be secure, but it would be 2018. Now, which would be April 2018. That would allow, actually, for a year's project management in the build-up to it. So it's not as if everything stops until the 1st of April 2018. A lot of preparatory work could occur. But that delay might be useful because it means that the Heritage Lottery funding of some substantial, over £2 million, would come in and could be used. So the recommendations, Chair, are as set out in the report. If there's more detail required, then Grant Ballantyne is here, and also Rod Lugg, who is the prime mover behind the success of both Dalkeith and the ongoing success in Gore Bridge. But otherwise, that's really all. The recommendations are there, Chair.
Thank you very much. Would any of my colleagues like to speak? Derek Rosie.
Surprise. Thanks very much, Leader, and thanks for that, Ian. We mentioned earlier about the commitment towards this, and I think is where was evidenced a few weeks back there when Rod Lugg, it's good to see Rod here, who was present at a meeting we had in the Town Hall, which was attended by about 35 people from various organisations within Pennycook and off none, but there were just citizens there wanting to see what's going on and contribute towards it. And I think the history that we have of community engagement, especially with the Development Trust, and now we've got Pennycook First and that on board, and I think the involvement of the new owners of the town centre there, and Carla Holmes even turned up at that one and an event about a week and a half later. So there is an engagement there by the community in Pennycook, and they want to see this happen, and hopefully that it's going to put us in good stead to be successful in the application that's just gone in. So I'm very encouraged by it and about the commitment of Pennycook towards this, and happy to see it going forward.
Thank you. Are we all agreed to the recommendations? Thank you very much. And now we can move into the private agenda, and I'd ask members of the public to